My name is Joanne Conroy. I'm a retired Lutheran pastor. I retired in December 2008, and I traveled for a year. And then I've been doing a lot of things, and now it's time to stop that. Come out of retirement or something. I'm not quite sure. I did write myself a letter today, and that. So it'll be really interesting. One of the things I share, I'm so humbled that you're all here. Thank you. Just humbled to be in your presence. Thank you. One of the things I like to share with people are concepts of God, traditions, Sioux traditions, and Christianity. Please join us in a circle. Oh, thank you. And the parallelisms of it all. Because I was raised in a family that was a part of how I was raised. I was raised in the Episcopal Church, Christian tradition, and in Native spirituality, our Native tradition. And so it's something that's very familiar to me, and I think I shared with some people today. When people ask me, do you talk Indian or do you speak Lakota or something of that sort, I always tell them I speak Church Indian, because in my family, my father made the decision that his children would not talk Indian. And it was because of what happened to my parents, or my father, at boarding school, being punished for speaking the language and so on and so forth. So he made the decision that we wouldn't speak the language. Even though my parents and aunts and uncles and other relatives, when they came to visit, they all talked to each other in the language, and they talked to us that way, but we had to answer in English. And the only time it was okay for us to talk Indian was at church. And I grew up in an Episcopal church, but all the other denominations on the reservation at that time did the same thing. I grew up in the Episcopal church using both languages, the Sioux language and English language, because that's how the services were held and are still held to this day. Mm-hmm. So that's why I tell people to talk church Indian. who was here yesterday? I know. So for those of you that were here yesterday, could somebody explain smudging? Sage? Burning sage.
Sure.
Oh, thank you.
Since you're looking at it. It's a process of blessing as well as cleansing. So it's an opportunity to kind of clear your spirit and the space around you, and kind of bring blessings upon you into this presence and this time to make this space holy. Is
very
that
pretty good?
Okay.
Thank you. You know, and I only grew up Indian, so I have to read it. This is a wonderful book, and if anybody, it's called Sacred Ground. Sacred Ground. Very simple, and it explains Lakota traditions and Christianity, the parallelisms, and it's my favorite of all the books that are out there. We use sage and sweetgrass and tobacco in, you could say, our rituals or our prayers. Sweetgrass, and I'm so sorry that I didn't bring any with me, but sweetgrass is used as incense, and you burn it. It's usually braided. It's long grass, and it's braided, and it has a very sweet, sweet scent. And it always smells that way. Whether it's growing and you pick it and you braid it and it's dry, it always has that sweet, sweet scent. We use that when we pray. And then sage. Sage is what you see scattered around here. This is sage from the Black Hills. And it has kind of a bitter, sweet scent. We use sage for exactly what she was saying, for cleansing, and cleansing means kind of helping rid us of the negative energies that we carry with us, please join us in a circle. Thank you. And there's a chair here, and oh, there's your chair. And it's and it, I also tell people that when we bring the shell or the bowl to you, you don't inhale the smoke. You just simply draw it over you as a blessing, because as we pray in this world and in church or wherever we pray for usually everybody but ourselves. We forget that to pray for ourselves. And so you use the smoke as a blessing for yourself. And one of the other beliefs that we as Indian people have is that when you take the smoke and you guide it towards a place that is in pain or that's ill, it helps in the healing of this pain. And then we use tobacco. Tobacco is just an offering. If in Indian tradition you take tobacco to a spiritual leader and you give them tobacco, it could be tobacco like this, it could be in the form of just a plain cigarette, you know, nothing that has any flavor or anything, and you give it to them. You don't have to explain to them why you're giving it to them, because they know that when they receive this tobacco, you are asking for prayers. And so then they will begin to pray for you, and they will remember you in their prayers. Sometimes that spiritual leader, if he can, will call you aside and sit down with you and see exactly what your prayer concerns are. And he will then remember those concerns in his prayers. That's the offering of tobacco. Yes?
Well, we had a guy who works for our agency. He's very Indian. He's Ojibwe, though. When we went out fishing, he would put pinch in the water before he put his canoe in.
And that's to give thanks, because he prayed for that creation that created fish, or, you know. And I do that too. Sometimes if I'm driving along and I see an eagle, or, you know, I just see some of God's creatures and I have my tobacco handy, I just let it drop out the window and I just give thanks for their creation and their life. And that's what that's all about, is that part of thanking God for his creation. So, is it possible for you to join us down here? And then you can go back up if you want to.
Sure.
Thank you. So on my sheet about things that I would need for tonight, as far as A, B, and whatever all this is called in the whiteboard, I put other. Because I needed to smudge. And, you know, the first thing they said when we got off the bus was, no fire. But, you know, in worship we light candles and that sort of thing. One of the things that we do always, we always begin, as Native people, we begin anything with prayer, and we end it all with prayer, and we begin with smudging. When I bring the sage to you, like I said, some people, could you join us down here, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. Some people think that they're supposed to inhale the smoke, and then they start coughing, but you just simply draw the smoke over you as a blessing for yourself and a blessing of all that negative energy that we carry around with us, because we're just little human beings and we do that sort of thing. And all of you, was that two people up there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are different words in the Sioux language for thank you, and And one of them is Pilamaye. P-I-L-A-M-I-Y-E. Pilamaye. It means so, thank you. And then there's one called, and then there's a word that's Wopila. W-O-P-I-L-A. And any time you put wo in front of something, it gives it a, it's a blessed event, a blessed occurrence. So Wopila is, I always tell people it's a great big thank you. And Pilama is just a regular thank you. And the word that we use, the prayer that we use is Mitakuye Oyasi. Mitakuye Oyasi means for all my relatives, and it's a prayer. So we began with that word, and we end with that word. Please stand. Did you hear the explanation about smudging?
Yeah.
I'm not able to speak.
Oh, that's fine. You're fine.
Sorry.
And a lot of times at a time like this, there will be somebody that sings a prayer song.
Are you looking at me?
I am.
Atri Starwa Ted Aya.
God the Holy Spirit, Wonia Wakan, Wonia Wakan. There are many words used in song and prayer for spirit, but like I said, when you put wo, W-O, in front of the other word, it connotates holiness and blessedness. A journey into the faces of God, Wakantanka, Wakan is so sacred. Wakan is the greatest sacred sacredness that you can have. Tonka is the greatest being. So God is just so sacred. Wakan Tonka. Tunkashila is the oldest word that we have for this deity that created us, God our creator. Wakantakan Tunkashila Ate Intasha Wonia Wakan. All the words that, some of the words that are used for God. So in Christian thinking and belief, God is seen as kind of bound up in his creation, right? This is what we know. He created everything. He created us all. He's not just a spirit apart from anything. He's a part of our humanity. He is intimate with who we are and everything that's created. He is defined as in many different ways, in many different languages, for those that have traveled around the world or even around the country. God is defined in many different ways. I can only define him tonight and on these days that I'm here with what I know and how I was brought up. So in this little book, they're talking about doing Christian work and missionary work with Lakota people. So when missionaries first came to the people on the reservations, they encountered people that talked about a God and they used many names. So there was a confusion about, do they believe in more than one God? Or just exactly what is this? And then why do they pray in four directions, from the north, the south, and the east, and the west? I don't see anybody having one, but if there was a Bible close by, I would have somebody read. Wonderful. It's from Zechariah 6, chapter 5, or verse 5. Chapter 6, verse 5, Zechariah.
After presenting themselves before the Lord of all the earth.
Oh, you have to read some more.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't give you enough verses.
Just keep reading.
Okay. The chariot with the black horses goes toward the north country, the white ones go toward the west country, and the dappled ones go toward the south country. When the steeds came out, they were impatient to get off and patrol the earth, and he said, "Go, patrol the earth." So they patrolled the earth. And then he cried out to me, "Lo, those who go toward the north country have set my spirit at rest in the north country." The word of the Lord came to me, "Collect silver and gold from the exiles, from Haldai, Tobijah, and the Jedi. Who have traveled from Babylon, and go the same day to the house of Josiah, son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold and make a crown, and set it on the head of the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Say to him, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, here is a man whose name is Branch, for he shall branch out in his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. It is he that shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear royal honor and shall sit upon his throne and rule. There shall be a priest by his throne with peaceful understanding between the two of them. And the crown shall be in the care of Haldai, Tobijah, Jediah, and Josiah, son of Zephaniah, as a memorial on the temple of the Lord.
That's good, thank you. What I wanted to have you hear was the four directions. That in this reading, it's the four horses that come out in the different colors, in the four directions. And this is a part of why Native people pray in the four directions. It's because God's Spirit is present in all of those places. And it's that Native people in their spirituality have this personal relationship with God and His creation, which is very Old Testament. Very Old Testament for God and His creations. Spotted Tail, who was a Sioux chief, said this to his people. Most Indians believe in the Great Spirit, Wakantanka, and they also believe in heaven and hell. They believe that when one dies, if you're good, your soul, your spirit goes south to heaven, and if you're not, it doesn't. It remains in hell. And missionaries ran into this, and I think from what I can glean from all of their writings, that they were very surprised that there was this understanding and this relationship with God in this time they're coming to the reservation. So we began our service with smudging, little presentation here with smudging, with sage, and I talked about sweetgrass, but I also wanted to talk to you about the eagle. Because, you know, the faces of God are not just in the human faces. The faces of God are in our creation. And so I mentioned the eagle. I mentioned about if I see an eagle, I'll offer some tobacco and thanks for that creation. It's a symbol for Indian people, and it's a symbol that it is, when somebody dies or when something is very important is happening in an Indian family's life, they look to the skies to see if the eagle is flying overhead. And if it is, it's a very exciting thing because it's a symbol of having your prayers carried to heaven or prayers carried to God. And that's what this bird, this eagle, this creation symbolizes for Indian people. So it's very holy and very sacred. And I don't know, but many of you probably know that only Native people can own an eagle feather. And you can only own an eagle feather if you're going to use it in ceremony. And then it's never put on display. And so you always keep it wrapped and keep it put away. And when you have a ritual or a ceremony, this could be called a ritual, you come together to pray and you smudge the people, you can use your eagle feather to do that. And a lot of times you will see somebody using an eagle feather as they come up to somebody who's being smudged, they'll touch them with the eagle feather as a blessing also. And so I get very distressed when I'm traveling. And where is it? The Denver Airport. I don't know if they're still there. But they used to have this glass display of things they confiscated from Indian people. And in them were a pipe and an eagle feather. And for me as a Native person, it was it's such a disrespectful thing to have these sacred objects out there without anyone understanding why they're sacred or that they are even sacred. So when I see things like that on display, I'm very distressed about that. And then, you know, there are places, the Custer Battlefield, and I don't know if they still have this, but they used to have on display things of sacred nature. Spiritual leaders have what they call a bundle, and they have a bag, and inside that bundle they may have tobacco, and they may have sage, and they may have sweetgrass, and they may have their pipe, and they may have bags. That's a real fancy bag laying over there. So that was a gift to me. Inside that bag, I blessed it with I burned sage, and I blessed it with the smoke, and I put sage in there, and I prayed over it. So they may have prayer bags and prayer ties inside those bundles. When I go to a museum and these things are on display, it's really distressful to see sacred objects on display. But the faces of God, where do you see the faces of God? Where have you seen them?
Sometimes with people.
Okay. We'll just go around the circle.
The animal kingdom. We do a lot of biking, and there are a couple of trails that are not too far from our home. And it seems like the last two or three times that we took this trail through the woods, we reached a point where there was a 90-degree turn, and standing right in the middle of the bike path was a deer. And it just stood there and let us get maybe 6 feet away from it before it walked into the woods, didn't run or anything. And we saw him or her two or three times in a row. And it was really an amazing.
That's wonderful.
To see.
Wow. Yeah. And all his creation.
The flowers that are over there. In the face of a child, young child.
In the assembly of people, particularly of different races.
Mm-hmm. Dorothy, I was going to say in the eyes of especially an infant, a baby.
Yeah.
Indian people.
Mm-hmm. In the sneaky chipmunk who decided to come and try to steal my lunch sandwich while I was hiking.
Best friend's face.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had occasions where crows have made their presence felt, letting me know that there was going to be dramatic change coming into my life, and so I could see those as messengers of
God.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just say everything, but I guess if I have to name one specific thing, the first thing that comes to mind is my cat.
I would think of my many hikes out, the hearing of animals.
Mm.
I feel the presence of the Creator.
Definitely.
In an African choir.
Mm-hmm.
In the face of a health professional when you first wake up after.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tragic time.
Hmm.
I guess I'm thinking about my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Much of what everybody said, but music as well.
And music, thank you.
The trees.
And the trees.
The stars.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, music, I'm going to teach you all to sing a couple. You can pass those around. Then we're going to practice.
Are you singing for those first two?
And then you be the choir. For Vespers. And while you're passing that around, Lakota people or Native people and probably many other people who live within their culture, pray and know that everything is sacred. It's a way of life, and that's how we are as Christians also, aren't we? It's a way of life. And we see the world as having four directions. And from those four directions come the four winds, and each direction has a special meaning, and to the native people, there's a color that represents each direction. So for the Sioux people, the east is the color of yellow. It's where life begins and the sun starts and the sun comes up every morning. And so you greet the day with praying to the east, and to the south is white, and it's the direction where the world is warmed up and it's growing and we grow. It's the direction where we're growing up as people. Are we short one? I have another one here. I just was holding on to it. You can share? Are you sure? I do have another one. Oh, there they are. Is this that? Yeah, this will work. Here you go. And we grow up and we find our challenges in life. And then there's West. And it just depends. I grew up with using the color red for the direction west. This is the direction where the sun sets, right? And this is the direction where we have come into our honor. We are elders. And we share all of the life's journeys with people. And so this is that direction where we are able to go out and teach and share this. And then there's north. And I grew up using the color black for north. And some people are taught they use the color black for west and red for north. This is direction where winter comes from, the north, where the cold, the north winds blow and all of that. And it's also a time of cleansing the earth of everything that's happened during this year. But it's also the time where these bodies die. But life doesn't end there, because our spiritual life is just beginning. And that's so that's that traditional belief. In of course, in Christianity, we have everlasting life through salvation. So that's, yes.
Oh, so it's yellow east,
white
south,
is south.
White is south.
And west
red,
can be red or black.
Black, north can be
red. Red or black. Mm-hmm.
So yellow, white,
and yeah. And there are also different animals, you know, that are identified with these directions too. But basically, these are the colors. And I'm bringing that up because in my final day on Friday, we're going to do a prayer service in the four directions.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to let you know. Well, let's practice. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Okay. Oh, I got it. The English. So, for verse 1 in Amazing Grace, it's Wakantanka.
Wakantanka.
Nitawapi.
Nitawapi.
Hey to we yushki.
Hey to we yushki.
Eh.
Eh.
Ayashta.
Ayashta.
Shni i yushki.
Shni i yushki.
Po.
Po.
Christ.
Christ.
Hey.
Hey.
Wa e.
Wa e.
Da ku.
Da ku.
Wakantaka.
Wakantaka.
Nitawapi.
Nitawapi.
Heto wiyushki e.
Heto wiyushki e.
That's it, actually. Ayashta.
Ayashta.
Shni iyushki.
Shni iyushki.
Po.
Po.
Christ he.
Christ he.
Wa e.
Wae.
Daku.
Daku.
That's really good. Okay. The next verse. Itansha.
Itansha.
Un.
Un.
Ki.
Ki.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Pi.
Ta Che.
Ta Che.
Chris He.
Chris He.
Wani.
Wani.
Kia.
Kia.
Itansha.
Itansha.
Unki.
Unki.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Eta.
Eta.
Unyapi.
Unyapi.
Na.
Na.
Cha Je.
Cha Je.
Uya.
Uya.
Ta Pi.
Ta Pi.
Ta Che.
Ta Che.
Chris.
Chris.
He. Uya. Kia. Wanikia. Okay. Ta
Uya.
Ki.
Ki.
No, I'm sorry. That's not Ta Uya. That's Ta Niya Ki.
Ta Niya Ki.
Ichupie.
Ichupie.
Niuwaka.
Niuwaka.
Pita.
Pita.
Pidaye.
Pidaye.
Chi.
Chi.
Eta.
Eta.
Umpo.
Umpo.
Chris.
Chris.
He. Waunshida.
Waunshida.
Okay, I gotta explain something to you. This Amazing Grace is written, there are three dialects in the Sioux language. There's Lakota, where some of the words are pronounced with an L. There's Dakota, where some of the words are pronounced with a D. And there's Nakota, where some of the words are pronounced with an N. This happens to be in the D dialect. In this verse, we saw Taniyaki, Ichupie, Ni Yuwaka, Pita, Pidaye in Lakota would be Pilaye. Remember I told you Pilame, Pilaye, Hichi, Ekta, Umpo, Christ, He, Waunshida, it says, but in the Lakota dialect it would be Waunshila. Just, you probably didn't even need to know that, but, but I thought I would share it with you.
It's handy to know, but I didn't really know.
So this one is written in the Dakota dialect. And I grew up speaking with an owl, so that's why I had to explain it. And then it's, let's see, where that was,
three,
four. Oni de,
Oni de,
wa, I mean, no, I'm sorry. Woyata,
Woyata,
Kihe,
Kihe,
Wakan,
Wakan,
Yuhapi,
Yuhapi,
Che,
Che,
Wakantanka,
Wata.
Ed wo wita.
Ed wo wita.
Priest.
Priest.
Hey. Wawichia.
Wawichia.
Uki de. Uki de.
Uki de.
Woyata.
Woyata.
Kihe.
Kihe.
Wakan.
Wakan.
Yuhampi.
Yuhampi.
Che.
Che.
Wakantanka.
Wakantanka.
Ewowita.
Ewowita.
Christ he.
Christ he.
Wawichia.
Wawichia.
Ateyapi.
Ateyapi.
Chihintuki.
Chihintuki.
Wakan.
Wakan.
Wakantanka.
Wakantanka.
Wajinaki.
Wajinaki.
Owihanke.
Owihanke.
Wani.
Wani.
So are you ready to sing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if a K is in front of, like, several times, there's either a K in front of a T, you don't say the K.
No. You don't. So what we can do is we can sing a verse in English, and then that next, and then that verse in the Sioux language, if that's okay with you. So, I need to warn you, I sing to my own tune.
Oh. Me too.
So if there's anybody in here that's really musical, go ahead and lead. Otherwise, you all sing off key when you follow me. So,
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. I was lost.
great handshake. Please.
I can't.
Oh, please. All right.
I'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll have to wait for the great handshake. Any questions? Because I pretty much did all the talking. Yes.
I think you may have answered it, but Sioux is
a nation.
A nation, and then are Lakota, Dakota, and
Nakota
are
three dialects.
Dialects within the nation, but not
a tribal affiliation. Not any more people will say I'm Lakota or I'm Dakota or I'm Nakota, and they're giving you a tribal affiliation when it is actually a dialect within the language. And that's what it is.
So we like saying y'all.
Y'all, yeah.
I'm a y'all American as opposed
yeah.
to
yes.
So I am from Sisseton.
Oh, good for you. So you are
Dakota.
Yeah, but real close to you are the Nakota speakers, and those are the North Dakota Sioux.
Wahpeton.
The Wahpetons, and there's a mix there in Sisseton. It just depends on which side of the line the families live in,
oh.
South Dakota or North Dakota.
Oh.
So they could be in the same family group, but some of them, if they've lived in North Dakota, will speak the language with the N sound.
Oh.
So it just depends, yes.
And then were the Sioux originally in those
Dakotas,
Northern Plains?
The Northern Plains, Minnesota, the Northern Plains, and into Wyoming. Those were their primary places to live, but they traveled
yeah.
all over. Not a lot of Indian tribes traveled like the Sioux did. The Sioux were pretty much everywhere, and a lot of Indian tribes settled into where they were, and you know, were farmers or whatnot, fishermen or whatnot. But the Sioux just traveled everywhere. There are Sioux in Canada also that went there during the time when they were trying to gather up the people and put them on reservations.
Where are the reservations?
Reservations in Canada?
For Sioux in the
US.
Oh,
for Sioux Indians, mainly all in South Dakota. There's the Oglala Sioux Reservation, which is Oglala Lakota, and that's what I'm an enrolled member of. There's the Cheyenne River Sioux, which is sort of northwest in western South Dakota. There's the Sisseton Wahpeton Sioux Tribe, there's the Yankton Sioux Tribe, there's the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, they're called Sikonju, then there's the Crow Creek Sioux Tribe, and Lower Brule. They're actually one tribe, but they're split by the river, the Brule River. So the Crow Creek live on the Upper Brule, and the Lower Brule part of the tribe live on the lower part of the. So that's why they split.
And those differentiations are Sioux-defined differentiations, not European-American-defined differentiations.
Right. They pretty much are. All the Sioux people west of the river in South Dakota, in the river that splits the state, speak the language with an L. And then east of the river, they speak it with a D. And then the only ones that really speak it with an N are those in North Dakota.
I had heard that the term Sioux was somewhat pejorative.
And I've heard that also.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was imposed on the people by the French.
Because that's the way the French interpreted the word as little snake. And you'll find that in different history books. But as far as the Sioux people themselves, that wasn't their interpretation of well, actually, I guess they didn't have an English interpretation of that word or French interpretation, but that is there, yeah. So, anything?
There's that little tribe in Minnesota that has all that money.
That Dakotas, and I'm actually...
Mittawakaton.
Yeah, when they were putting Indian people on reservations, a lot of the tribes had their spiritual leaders, and now we call them, what do we call them? Medicine men. And they would, because the government people or whoever it was didn't understand what they were doing, because they would go out and pray for the people, they took a lot of those elders and those leaders away, and they took them and they put them into Minnesota, and they put them in prison. There were seven of them that hung. So I'm a descendant of one of them, which is, who is Chief Smoke, who is, well, anyway. So those Dakota Sioux people came from those people that they took there to Minnesota.
The ones that are in Minnesota.
And so they're descendants of those different seven that were taken there and imprisoned and then hung. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, that's one of those bad things. Mm-hmm. So yes.
What did the people call themselves before they were called Sioux?
Well, there are many different names, but basically the people just referred to themselves as, or the Sioux people referred to themselves as the people. Mm-hmm. And there are many, many words for that. There's Teoshpae, which would be all of the people in the nation, all of the people. There's the Teoshpae. So they, and then there were variations of, as they went off to do hunting or wherever they went, there were variations of the Teoshpae and where they lived. Excuse me. And that's all I know. But I wanted to incorporate our end tonight, because we're kind of running over here, with the great handshake. And this doesn't come from Sioux tradition. This actually comes from Ojibwa tradition. And what the great handshake is everybody has to stand up, push your chairs back a little bit. That's not part of it, but that's just making room. But if you can't stand up, that's okay. And I'm going to come and I'm going to shake your hand, and you're going to follow me. And you're going to shake her hand, you're going to follow him, and we're just going to follow each other all the way around the circle until everybody is greeted. And said, oh, the other thing. When a man shakes a woman's hand in Native country, in Native tradition, you don't have a firm handshake because that's a sign of aggression. And so, and women don't shake hands with a firm handshake because it's a sign of aggression and disrespect. Just let you know. Then you follow him, and so on and so forth. Thank you. Thank you. Well, the singing was wonderful. I'm so proud of you guys. Thank you. Thank you. On a wash day, Lila wash day. Hey, I got it. Wash day is good, and if you say Lila in front of wash day, it means really good. Yeah. And this is called the great handshake. It's what the Ojibwa.
Forget the last one.
Shicha means bad. So if somebody is, you know, being a little naughty, that's what you can say. So, mitako yasi.
Oh.
Thank you. Pila me. Wo pila.
Wo pila.
We're done.
Thank you.